This is the fifth in a series of messages on how God builds cities of refuge, which are being given by Dr. Howard F. Sugden, pastor of South Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan. His subject for this one tonight is, God Says They Are Safe. Now here is Dr. Sugden.
Have your Bible, you do have. We are in the book of Joshua for a moment tonight, because if you don't turn there, you'll wonder why we're doing what we're doing. In the book of Joshua, chapter 20, shall we pray? Our Father, bless us now and be with us as we think together about eternal truths. May the Word of God come to life tonight as we read and study it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Joshua, chapter 20. The entire chapter is given over to a study and to a setting forth of God's plan for these unusual cities that became the places where people who were guilty of manslaughter, guilty of killing, and had committed second-degree murder, we would say. Now we are in verse 8. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Benjamin. Now we're going to look at this rather unusual name tonight. We have found that we have studied three cities. The first was Kadesh, which speaks of God's righteousness that he gives to us, that makes it possible for us to have protection and shelter. Then we talked about the little town of Shechem that's mentioned here, which is the place where we find strength for the work that God gives us to do. And then last Wednesday night we were visiting together about Hebron, which is the place of fellowship, and we enjoyed good fellowship as we studied. Now tonight we're looking at this city called Bezer. When we were children at home, we got to go to town once a week. Sometimes we missed once a week, so it was always the same time. We always went on Saturday night, and that was the greatest night of our little town's life because everybody came into shop. The barber shop was open. If you wanted a haircut, you got a haircut that night. If you wanted any of the things that you needed, you got them on Saturday night. That was a night of shopping. And always people sort of moved toward a central place in our town, which was a fairly good-sized store that I didn't know about Mars Hill then, but since that time I've called it Mars Hill. It was a place where everybody came. They put in their 2 bits worth on any subject, quarreled until 11 o'clock and broke up and went home at 11:30. I'll never forget those long evenings, and as a boy sitting there while they were discussing many subjects, but they always ended up on religion. Didn't make any difference where they started from any corner of the store. They always ended up in discussing something about God. And one of the greatest problems was whether or not God really cared enough for us to take us home safely, to see us through everything that happened. And when we got through, they never voted on anything. But when we got through, we were always evenly divided on everything. So I got my introduction to the great subject of security and protection and God's care. And I remember after I was saved and began to study the Bible that I talked with my father and mother about this, because they had some very unusual ideas that they had gleaned from Mars Hill. They got more from Mars Hill than they did from the pulpit on Sunday. So I talk with them about what I believe the Word of God taught. And it is great to know that there was a city called Bezer in the Old Testament. And when you got in that city, its name meant refuge. It was a place where you found security, where you were safe, and God said so. And because God said so, it made it so. Now, I just thought that we would like tonight to spend our evening reading these passages that are so utterly beautiful on this subject, and reading them that they may help you, that when you talk with someone, you may be encouraged and they may be encouraged. Go with me to Psalm 61. We will find it, and you have almost anticipated what this psalm has to say. But we are in 61. And we are reading Psalm 61 and 3 together. For thou hast been a shelter for me from the enemy. Let's read on. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. Think of that. Now, go on and let's find Proverbs, because Proverbs has an interesting word on this. Usually you find Proverbs giving to us truths for guidance and for help for life. If you start in and read the book of Proverbs through, you will have every area of your life covered in reading the book of Proverbs. But I think it is nice for us to read just a little word from Proverbs in 18 and 10. Thank you. Have you found it? 18:10. A great word. Read it with me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So here again is the element of safety, secured behind a wall of a city. The high priest who is alive, and as long as he lives, you are safe. And to know that because the Lord Jesus is our high priest, he is alive forever, and therefore we are in this strong tower, this place of security. Now go back with me to the book of Psalms, and I hardly know how to look at this psalm, because it is one of the most beautiful of all the psalms on the subject of God's care. Only may I just suggest to you that if you have a pencil, you might like to do something, underscore. You will find if you take this psalm, which is the 91st psalm, and put a little underscore under the suggestions of safety, that when you have done this, you will find 14 or 15 in one psalm. Just think, in one psalm, you have this number. Now let's point out a few of them. Let's start in and read, and then we'll stop together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now go down and let's pick it up at verse 9. And then we'll go back and just look at some of these words. And do this for your own heart's good, because this is such a great psalm. We are back to it, down at verse 9. Read with me. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. There are 11 references to refuge in those verses. Now just note them. There is the secret place of the Most High. There is the abiding under the shadow of God. Those are in verse 1. Look in verse 2. He is my refuge and my fortress. This is God. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. It's a farmyard and chickens and a mother hen and feathers and little chickies that stick their heads out through the wings and say, boo to all the dangers outside because they're covered over with feathers and wings. Then with the feathers you have wings again. Now we move down and we read from verse 9. He is my refuge and my habitation. Just think of it. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Imagine God taking time out to give us this psalm, and I've only covered 11 of the 16 or 17 of them. But this is a psalm of refuge. I remember spending hours studying this just for my own soul and for my comfort and for my encouragement. And then it closes with this, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you want some time when things are rough and difficult to be encouraged, take this psalm and read it aloud. I mean, read it aloud. Don't mumble it, and don't be amazed that anything's happening. If you read it aloud, it just sounds so glorious to you. A psalm of the care of God and the security that we have in him. Now let's go to Psalm 144. We're just reading tonight largely because I thought it was worth everything to hear what God has to say. Psalm 144. There, we'll read just the first three verses. This, again, is a psalm of security and a psalm of care together. We'll start with verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. There's a stop. You say, Pastor, is this possible that God is saying that he is interested in fighting and protection and fingers and hands and arms? Yes, I think so. I think he is just saying there are times in our lives when we must protect ourselves. There are times when we, and he's saying that the Christian life is a conflict. I think it's a picturesque speech. He says he teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Now in this, let's see what happens and what he does for us while our fingers and our hands are working. Let's read. He is my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Now imagine, we'll stop there. He said, after all I have said about hands and fingers fighting, it is God who really works in us to give us the victory that we seek to have as we struggle. That's what he says. And it is the Lord who does this. And he makes our fingers to fight and hands, and then he subdueth people under me. So the victory that we have comes from him. That is our victory. Now let's go to Isaiah 26, and we will look at Isaiah 26 because it is a lovely one and one you know. There are not many references in the Bible to the mind. Go through and find it. We know we have this, we know we have wisdom and all this, but when you seek out references to the mind, it's really something. But now we are in Isaiah 26. Now we're going to begin reading with verse 1 because everybody knows verse 3. That's where we will end our reading. We'll end it with verse 4. However, it's a great portion of Isaiah because it's talking again of protection. So let's read together with verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Now, just stop. That would be absolutely ridiculous if you weren't acquainted with the Word of God. You say, what city is he thinking about Jerusalem? There isn't a spot in the world more troubled than than Jerusalem tonight. Right tonight. You wonder what's going to happen there tomorrow. Oh, what will happen when Mr. Arafat and the rest of the crowd, when they cut loose and all the other folk who are against Israel? But here he's saying we have a city. So you understand that he is talking, he must be talking about some future day. But there's a future day for a city, but there is a present application to our heart. And it is the present application that we need to lay hold of in this. So we will go on and read. He talks about a strong city. We have a strong city. And now let's start and read it over again, the verse. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and works. So now he gets into the picturesque and together. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, immediately you say, Pastor, there is another verse on peace, isn't there? And there is a verse on peace in Philippians 4, where we read, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So he said, we find in this security that we have, the secret of our peace. Now, I belong to God, and you belong to God. And it is awfully hard. It is awfully hard, this business of living, because it's always involved with dying. Everybody that's alive has the potential of death. And it is not easy to look at death. It really isn't. I talk with people today, and you say, Pastor, I don't know what I would do if I were facing this. Well, I think it's much more difficult when you're this far from it than when you're up close to it. I think that much of the fear is gone when you arrive at that place. But to think that here is a promise that I have such security in God that when it comes to the most critical hour in my life, which will be death, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I haven't had to face that yet. Maybe it'll be different when I'm there. But think of God giving to us in our lives peace. So tomorrow may be a wonderful day. Tomorrow may be a difficult day. Tomorrow you may find situations that you never dreamed of. He said, we're in a walled city. And isn't it great what he says the walls are? Our salvation. Just think that. The walls of our city of refuge, salvation. I belong to God. And what can happen to me? Mrs. McElmory, when we talked this afternoon, and she said, well, Pastor, you know I've talked about this. I belong to God. And it's much easier to talk about this than to really in your heart in those situations experience that peace. But it's great to study about this. Imagine, here is a city of refuge, and he says it's like a bulwark, and we're safe there. No one's ever going to snatch us out of that city. No one's ever going to reach in and destroy us and keep us away from God. We're there. We belong to him. It is most wonderful. Most wonderful. Now, let's go to the last one. And I should take an hour on this, but I will not. There isn't any point in the New Testament that is a higher point than Romans 8. And Paul has led his readers along the paths that are exciting paths from chapter 1. 2 and 3, where he has everybody guilty, and then he declares them righteous, so that everybody that's in chapter 4 is righteous. We get into chapter 4, and we are in there because we have believed. It says, he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised because the debt was paid. And the next verse is, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So here again is the peace that we have with God. It is yours tonight, mine tonight, and it operates in every circumstance, never leaves us. Now, he has talked about justification, and he has told them that God is so at work in their lives that everything that's happening is going to eventually work for good. And Romans 8:28 is more than just a verse of Scripture. It is the word that God gives to us so that we will know that the experiences of our lives, brittle, difficult, God is putting them together. And when he puts them together and we see them completed, we will say it was good. Say, this is just great. God only could do that. I think of life itself. Only God could take our lives and work them together, you know, for good. So he is now coming to his closing argument about God and what God is doing. And we will begin our reading. I'll read verses 33 and 4, and then I'll tell you when to join with me on 35. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He said, is there anybody that can ever bring a charge against you? And of course, you know there isn't. No one can bring any charge. God has justified us. That's what the word literally means there. He said, God's justified us. If God has justified us, is there anybody that could condemn us? Anyone come, lift a hand and say, oh, yes, I would like to have this lady condemned. I would like to have... No, he said, no, and God has justified you. When you believed in Jesus Christ, God justified you. He declared you righteous. He placed you in his family. You are as much a part of his family as Spurgeon or John Wesley or any other of the greats in all the world. He puts us in the family. And now he talks about the events that could happen in this family and reaches a conclusion. And we're going to do that. He said, God has justified us. Who is he that condemneth? Christ has died, and he is risen, and he is at the right hand of God, and he is there, and he is making intercession for us. He is the priest in the city of refuge, and as long as he's alive, we're safe. That's what his argument is. He goes back, and he must be thinking of the city of refuge. He says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And remember that the man in the city of refuge was safe as long as the high priest lived. So he said, he ever lives and you're forever safe. This is his argument. Now, I want you to read with me. And we may make a little closing remark and we may not, because this passage is absolutely the greatest thing that we could ever read. We are in Romans 8 and we are at verse 35 together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? Now, let's just stop. That's about all I see on TV anymore. I am bothered. I'm away with a panel of preachers in Toronto, and they sent me the questions ahead of time that they're going to ask the panel. There are five of us, and each man has a series of questions. And some of them we are all involved in, and the others will have just a sheet of questions to answer. And I know, you know, what the one of the big questions is, how do I feel about the suffering people of Ethiopia? Well, Well, that's a good question. How do I feel about the suffering people of Lansing? Too. We get real excited about Ethiopia. But I see suffering little children. I see peril. I see nakedness. I see the results of sword. I see the results of earthquake. And suddenly you begin to say to yourself, I wonder if there is anything that can ever separate us. What happens to these people? What happens? There are lots of believers there. There must have been hundreds of believers in Mexico City. And here are all these events that are taking place, and Paul lists them here. He puts them down and said, I just want you to think with me about this. And the Spirit of God directs him. He said, now we begin it now at verse 36. And I won't interrupt again until we're through together. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ponder it. Don't miss that. We are more than conquerors. We're not just getting through the fight. We're not just getting through the battle. We're just not getting through the troubles. We are more than that. We are conquerors. Well, I like that. We're conquerors. Now, how do we do this? Read on with me. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just think. He just said you just bring on everything. Bring heights and depths. Bring on all demonic powers. He covers everything. Nothing in the heights above. Nothing in the depths beneath. Can ever. He said it is impossible for anything to ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you cannot read these verses tonight that we have read that speak about this lovely city, this stronghold, Bezer. The Lord's a rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a mighty fortress is our God. I'll never forget, I made mention of it in my notes. I went to a conference as a just out of teenage, at 21, 22. I went to a conference. I was alone, and a man stood ahead of me, a huge man, and they announced a mighty fortress. They're going to sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. This is the first time I'd ever heard a song. And this giant man stood so tall, and I just watched him aghast. He sang the whole song without a book, and he just barreled it out. And I thought, this has to be the greatest thing I've ever heard. I just stood there. I didn't even sing. I listened to him. Then we came to that last verse, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And Ken, you're safe, boy. Good to be in his hands. You're safe. Safe am I. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and our next word, safe. Shall we pray? Father, bless us now. Thank you for your goodness to us. Be with us in prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.